I didn't know that I would have the opportunity to introduce my brother tonight. It's been a while before I had that opportunity. But when we were working together with half of Canada and northeastern United States, well, I had the opportunity to introduce him lots of times. And the experiences that we had together in the Lord was fantastic. And I know that as we come here this evening, as he speaks, I know that we will be fed. We'll be fed by the Spirit. And so I ask each of you to prepare yourself to hear the words that he would bring forth and the scriptures, to follow them along. You know, he and I, as we worked together, we had the people read the scriptures with us so they know that that's what the scriptures said, because those are the books that's going to be open to judge us. So you can read them and how important it is. And so I ask for my brother your prayerful and your careful attention as he feeds you this evening with the Word of God.
Thank you, Hub. Is this on? Welcome to each and every one of you this evening. I want to begin this evening in Hebrews, 13th chapter. 8th verse. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now in my Bible, you just go right across the page and you go into James. I want to go to James, the first chapter, verse 17. First chapter, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. When I took the time to go through the scriptures, I found 26 places in the scriptures that tell us about the same thing. And I could have missed some. There's no two ways about that. But it is important that we have an understanding that God does not change. If he did, he would cease to be God. In the Book of Mormon, on page 711, verse chapter 481 in Mormon, I want to read 81 through 83. And if there were miracles wrought, then why has God ceased to be God of miracles and yet be an unchangeable being? And behold, I say unto you, he changeth not. If so, he would cease to be God. And he ceaseth not to be God and is a God of miracles. And the reason why he ceaseth to do miracles among the children of men is because that they dwindle in unbelief and depart from the right way and know not that God, that the God in whom they should trust. Go to the 76th verse. verse 76. Behold, I say unto you, nay, and God has not ceased to be a God of miracles. In order to understand that God changes not, we have to have something else that is very important. That something else is faith. We have to have faith in order to know that He does not cease to be God. This is such an important substance in our lives that we meant it is also another one of those words that's mentioned many times in the 11th chapter of Hebrew, 23 times. Very important in our lives, faith. In Hebrews again, 11th chapter, 6th verse, we are told this: but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. We need to understand prophecy and to understand that the fulfillment of prophecy is a miracle. We believe these things through our faith, that He changes not and that He keeps His word. That sometime in the future, the prophecies that He has caused to be given will come to pass. Not might, but will be fulfilled. It makes no difference when the prophecies were given. They will come to pass to His timetable. We can't stop them from coming. I'd like to go to third chapter of Amos. Seventh verse. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secrets unto His servants and His prophets. God has revealed some very vital things to mankind that they didn't always understand. A good example of this we find in the 8th chapter of Amos, verses 11 and 12. 8th chapter, verses 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Now, I'm sure that that confused a lot of people when it was first given. By reading in Daniel about the dream King Nebuchadnezzar had about the statue and the interpretation that was given to Daniel to find out, we find out just how long it is for this famine to last, of hearing the word that the Lord blasted. Let's turn to Daniel 2. Daniel 2, 28 to 36. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and thy visions on thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came to thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom, that I may have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part clay. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that they were iron and clay, and brake them into pieces. Then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken into pieces and became like chaff of the summer thresholding floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream that I will tell you, the interpretation, therefore, before the king. In chapter 7 of Daniel, go to verse 25. And we see the amount of time that the word of the Lord would be gone from the earth. Until time and the dividing of times. This equals 1260 years. The statue that King Nebuchadnezzar saw stood complete only one time in history. But Daniel saw something else. Let's go to Daniel 2:44. This is very important to us. 2:44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of earth of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. In Revelations 14:6, we read this. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. John saw the restoring of the gospel, but he didn't know the timetable. But he knew that it would be restored because he believed and he had faith of these prophecies. Now I would like to go to First Nephi, page 34. First Nephi, page 34. I'm going to start in the third chapter, in verse 148. And it came to pass that I beheld the Spirit of God, that it wrought upon the other Gentiles, and they went forth out of captivity upon the many waters. And it came to pass that I beheld many multitudes of Gentiles upon the land of promise. And I beheld the wrath of God that was upon the seed of my brethren, and they were scattered before the Gentiles, and they were smitten. And I beheld the Spirit of the Lord that was upon the Gentiles, that they did prosper, and did obtain the land for their inheritance. And I beheld that they were white and exceeding fair and beautiful, like unto my people before they were slain. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles, which had gone forth out of the captivity, did humble themselves before the Lord, and did have, and the power of the Lord was with them. Now we know that this is speaking about the pilgrims that came to the Americas in 1620 for their religious freedom. Now these next few verses, we're going to read about a different people on the same land. We're going to go to verse 153. Verse 153. And we find that these are different people. They're the inhabitants of the 13 colonies that were established 150 years later. They were called colonists, and they fought a war to become a free nation. Page 34, verse 153. And I beheld that the mother Gentiles were gathered together upon the waters, and upon the land also, to battle against them. And I beheld that the power of God was with them, and also that the wrath of God was upon them who gathered together against them to battle. And I, Nephi, beheld that the Gentiles, which had gone out of captivity, were delivered by the power of God out of the hands of all other nations. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that they did prosper in the land. To the descendants of the colonists some 50 years later, as it talks about the people whom were in the dream in 2 Daniel, verse 44, was speaking of. To that generation, the gospel was restored at the end of the 1260 years. There was a decree given that whosoever possessed this land in Ether, that the Lord would not suffer that they should stop below the sea when the wilderness, when they came across, but he would that they should come forth even unto the land of promise, which is choice above all other lands. Did you ever stop to think of what he's talking about right there? Choice above all other lands, the land of promise. North and South Americas. Choice above all other lands on the earth. and we are privileged to live on this choice land. It's choice above all other lands. And he swore unto his wrath unto his brother Jared that whosoever should possess this land from that time forth, hence forever, would serve him, the true and only God, or they would be swept off of the fullness of his wrath were upon them. And now we can behold the decrees of concerning this land, that this land of promise and whatsoever nation possesses it shall serve God, or they shall be swept thereof when the fullness of his wrath comes upon them. And the fullness of his wrath comes upon them when they ripen in iniquity. For behold, this is a choice land above all other lands. Wherefore, he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off, for it is the everlasting decree of God. And it is not until the fullness of the iniquity is among the children of the land that they are swept off. And this cometh unto you, O ye Gentiles, that ye may know the decrees of God, that ye may repent and not continue in your iniquities until the fullness come, that ye may not bring down the fullness of the wrath of God upon you, as the inhabitants of the land have hitherto done. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, which has been manifested by the things in which we have written. You know, when you look around you nowadays, you wonder just how long God's going to put up with what goes on around us now. Surely it can't be too much longer, considering all the iniquities and things that go on that the law allows and prevail in the times that we are living in. Not good at all. I have touched this evening on a few prophecies and dreams and visions. All the different ways that God speaks to us and the things that he reveals he wants us to know. In John 8:12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He has shed this light through prophecy, through dreams and visions, all down through the time. And we will continue to do so to a righteous people. We need to let that light shine in our lives. We need to be that people that he sheds that light upon and keeps us informed through visions, dreams, and prophecies. In Isaiah, and I'm not sure a lot of you know where I'm going to go, I would like to end it here, but I think I can conclude it. Because I believe there are few of the most important prophecies given to man that I haven't touched on. And in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. 2 final scriptures found in the Book of Mormon. First one in 2 Nephi, page 142. 2 Nephi, chapter 11, 35 and 36. For according to the words of the prophets, the Messiah cometh in 600 years from the time my father left Jerusalem. Speaking of Lehi. And according to his words of the prophets, also the word of the angel of God, his name shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mosiah 1, page 216, verse 102 and 103. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things. From the beginning his mother shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even through faith on his name. All of these prophecies truly have been fulfilled now. I believe that the scriptures say it all. They give us all the information needed to live a righteous life. All we need to do is to pray, read, and study them, and heed what they tell us to do. And we will be with him, to live with him forever in the time of eternity. Thank you for my time.